Did you do anything today for your birthday, Jeff?
No, I did it all this weekend.
Yeah, you did it so, all. Yeah. All of it.
I did today. Some of it, I did twice.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Saints Podcast.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and in this episode, we are going to talk about week number two of the training camp. It's in the books, the NFL preseason has officially started, and the Saints have a game this week for the first time in a long time. Plus, we have news about the Dome Patrol meetup party in London before the Vikings game. That's happening, so put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. On the show today, we have Scott, Wesley, and James. Jason will be joining us a little bit later. He's, I guess, running late. But let's get started talking about the last thing that I talked about, which is the Dome Patrol podcast / New Orleans football podcast. Well, I don't want to say tailgate party because that suggests that it's going to be the day of the game. So this is the night before the game for all Saints fans in London to join us at the Ninth Ward, which is a local pub that is reserved exclusively. It's reserved exclusively for this party. Like, you have to have a ticket to get into this party.
Well, you don't have to have a ticket, but yeah, we've I have,
you can make your own ticket. We're gonna have a prize.
There's a door prize
for whoever makes the most.
Will they be golden tickets?
Let's have a prize for the best.
Bring a Mardi Gras Saints decorated umbrella, and we'll have a contest for the best umbrella. No, we won't. It's just gonna be us and Nick Underhill and whoever else shows up.
It is, yeah. And we've got the whole place. We've got the whole place booked out. We did it in 2019 for the UK Saints fans. And we had a really good night, and I thought it was just the perfect place for us to for us to arrange our meetup. Come join us.
It's specific for Saints fans. So if you're a Vikings fan, I wouldn't show up if I were you. I don't think there's any Vikings fan listening to this. It's probably true.
And James, I believe you were telling me that the place where this bar is really cool, and the library scenes from Harry Potter were filmed in this building, right? And so there's going to be a lot of nostalgia and things that look the same, and people are going to recognize things like that as well.
If that was the case, I would not have booked there.
Okay, so maybe that was a different conversation. I remember that.
All right, got to find someplace else.
It was.
It's so appropriate, though, that it's the Ninth Ward for the Saints party for the Dome Patrol podcast.
Yeah, and the last time we went there in 2019, they actually had a beta beer. So, you know, like a beer from home just for you.
I'm not going to travel 4,000 miles to drink a beta. Sorry.
Yeah, but it's cool for the locals.
Yeah.
Sure.
Ah, so 7% strength IPAs all around then.
Yeah.
And of course, Nick has confirmed that, I mean, he's co-promoting it now with New Orleans football, and his members that are coming over and subscribers that are coming over to the game. And then there could be other people associated with New Orleans football or other, just Saints coverage that are also going to be there. I think this is going to end up being a pretty big party. It's going to be the party location.
Cause I remember back when we went to Chicago for the NFC Championship in 06, even, and this was before social media could really help spread the word. And even there, the night before the game, you go to a bar, and you'd kind of get word from the other Saints fans that you'd meet at the bar. And they were like, hey, we're all going to this bar. Like, that's where all the Saints fans are going. And everybody ended up gravitating to that place that night. And it sounds like already this is starting to happen, at least within certain circles that would early. We haven't even promoted it that heavily about our meetup, but a little bit more.
Yeah, it's 8 weeks away. We'll be able to add a lot of coverage to this.
I think, and my goal, I mean, we're not making money off of this party. My goal is to truly have like a takeover and make a big thing, because it was fun in Chicago up until the game. It was a fun weekend. And then the other thing we did there was everybody planned to, like, when we were at the main bar, everybody was talking about, okay, tomorrow we're all going to meet in the Marriott, across the street from the stadium, and we're going to go over with a second line. And they had a marching band, like not a marching band, but just the brass beat, whatever. And you ended up with like 1,000 Saints fans Sunday morning before the game parading into Soldier Field. Felt like we owned the place, felt like it was the most Saints fans you'd ever seen. Like, we're going to take over the stadium. And then you get in, and of course, and where'd all the fans go? But well, it was a cool experience. And I really think it'd be a pretty cool if we can get as many Saints fans to show up and just have a good time. Starting with
James was planning on this starts at 5 p.m. James was planning on partying all through the night until he goes to the ultimate tailgate the next morning and then straight into the stadium. I think he lots of Red Bull and lots of IPA.
Well, no Red Bull because I'm not allowed to drink it, but there is a chance that could occur. See, what if we do that, what you need is you need 2 pieces of black pudding before you go into the stadium and your hangover is cured.
There you go. And I definitely think it's a unique opportunity for those of us that are going to get to meet some of our listeners as well, like Neil and just people that have listened to the show for a long time. So,
yeah, and kind of a cool thing. We've even had, some other Saints media coverage and podcasts and people that talk about the Saints like liking and retweeting this. I think it's going to end up being a big thing. And we of course want as many Saints fans as possible to come and enjoy it. I think it'll be great. So pretty cool thing to go to another country and have this many Saints fans probably get together, and hoping not just England and the US, hope there's a bunch of Saints fans from around different places in Europe that'll come over. And
that's what I'm really,
there's a lot of people, this is their first interaction with other Saints fans from the US besides listening to the podcasts, and maybe
I think it'll be a great Google Translator.
Yeah, I know of a couple of people from Norway, a couple of people from Sweden that are coming over, Germany. So yeah, there'll be an eclectic mix of nationalities.
This is what I think the NFL's envisioning was envisioning whenever they started the
true
200 drunk Saints fans in a bar. Yes, that's exactly what they were envisioning.
Maybe so Goodell stop by.
That'll be really cool to bring everybody. Who?
Goodell. Maybe he'll stop by.
Yeah,
all right.
He might not. He won't leave. They'll probably get killed, but you know he'll stop by. You never know.
Yeah, maybe some former Saints can stop by. We'll talk to some of them. Great. Now we're over promising.
Yeah.
Hall of Famer Sam Mills.
I was about to say that, but I didn't want to. I swear I was about to say that. I was like, no, maybe it's
I didn't want to say anything, but I've been talking to Drew Brees, and he's gonna try and make it. There you go.
There you go.
Oh yeah, right. All right. So that's happening. We're gonna mention this pretty much every week to keep it fresh in everybody's mind. We'll be tweeting about it. If you have any questions about it, you can tweet at us, or you can join the Dome Patrol podcast Discord server or DM us for an invitation for that, and you can talk to us there. All right. Hey, for those of you going to the Saints game in London, or those of you who live in or near London, we've got a special announcement for you. We're partnering with the Ultimate Tailgate Party to offer you the best tailgate in London. The party is right next door to the stadium. You cannot get any closer unless you hit the wall of the stadium, or maybe there's a street, I would imagine, in between But you can't party any closer to the stadium. It starts 3.5 hours before kickoff, and it includes all you can eat tailgate food. James, what kind of tailgate food do you have over there in London?
Burgers.
Bloody sausage.
Yeah, burgers, hot dogs, pizza.
Will there be fish and chips? Stuff.
Just grab as much as you want, eat it.
Black bangers pudding. And mash. Chips.
Black pudding.
Ugh. Bangers right, and mash.
We're trying to sell these
chips.
Things. There will also be unlimited.
Will there be
beer?
Any shrimps on the Barbie?
Oh, no, that's Australia.
Wrong country, sorry.
That's Australia.
That's Austria.
There will be unlimited beer, wine, and soft drinks. I don't know. The last time we had a Dome Patrol party, you drank the bar out of alcohol, and they had to go and get more.
Yes.
Wait, right. Will there be IPAs? Will the IPAs be part of the beers?
More than likely.
Well, dang
it. Well, I'm in. All right. So the atmosphere is going to be electric, mainly because we're going to be there, but also because there's going to be a DJ, big screen TVs, as well as tailgate games and merch stalls. So you can buy stuff. I'm imagining Saints paraphernalia and whatnot. So even better news is that this is a fantastic £25 per person discount. Not total, but there is a discount, £25 per person for everybody listening to this, the Dome Patrol podcast. All you need to do is go to theultimatetailgateparty.net/UK. That's theultimatetailgateparty.net/UK. Click on the Tottenham tailgates and use promo code DOMEP25. D-O-M-E-P 25.
So don't. Just to make sure, James, is it cheaper if I pay in quid or pound or euro or just US dollars? Like which one actually saves me the most money when I use code DOMP to go on the tailgate?
Pounds.
And is there like a Brexit dollar? Is that a piece of change? Is that cash? Is that paper?
Not yet. No, we haven't. The mint hasn't produced Brexit dollars yet. No.
Excellent. Well, we won't use those then. Sounds like a great time though. I'm excited. We're going to get up early and hit it hard.
3.5 hours before the game. I will be there.
The game. We will
three
all
and a half
be
hours
there
before the game.
I am going to get my money's worth.
I'm going to crawl to the airport the next day, but it's gonna happen because the Saints are going to win. All right, so don't forget, everybody, theultimatetailgateparty.net/UK. Use promo code DOMEP25, DOMEP25. All right, let's get on to training camp. Since the last time we talked, we did talk about, we started with a little fight between, what's his name? Penning and Davin?
Peyton Turner.
Oh, was it Peyton Turner?
It wouldn't be Davenport.
Okay. And then, so this week there was another fight and they were sent to the locker room. This time it was not Peyton Turner though. It was who?
Was it
Roach?
Roach?
Malcolm Roach. That's right. So maybe... Is there a reason to be concerned about Trevor Penning's aggressive play, or are you, is this Trevor Penning, right? Why am I drawing a blank there?
Yes, Trevor Penning.
Okay. Or are you saying, no, this is what you want in your offensive lineman. This is Kyle Turley, the rebirth of Kyle Turley or something, reincarnation.
From what we've seen, Trevor Penning's not being a jerk and like driving his teammates into the ground or after a whistle blows, continuing to throw them like off the field. And I don't even know. I think he's playing until the whistle. I don't know if he's necessarily being a jerk and like running people over after they stop playing. To me, what he's doing right now is I would like for all of our team to be doing, rather than being sensitive about the way that he's playing. This is a guy who was drafted in the first round that was not guaranteed a starting position. Like a lot of first rounders, he was told, you come in here and you got to earn this.
Right.
This is James Hurst's position. He was told at the start of training camp, this is James Hurst's job. See if you can knock him off. And James Hurst isn't just, I mean, he's not Cesar Ruiz. He's not some guy that's been struggling a couple years. That's why is he even here? Like, I think we're all comfortable with, if Trevor Penning takes a year to develop, we'll do James Hurst for a year while Trevor Penning gets better. And Trevor Penning comes in as the sixth lineman. I mean, we're all good with that. So he's doing what he needs to do. And again, I don't think he's not assaulting his teammates. And this is like the kind of opposite of the CJ GJ. If you're doing stuff that's making another guy hit you, good job. You're being annoying. You're doing your job. I'm not mad at the guy who gets hit.
Well, I guess, yeah, my thing question about concern would be, is what he's doing going to result in, if he did this during a game, is the flag being called on us?
It doesn't look like it. It looks like he's playing to the whistle. He doesn't look like, I mean, again, we're not there. We don't see every single, but the replays we have seen, I like it. And I think he's trying to earn a job.
All right.
Yeah, I've got no issue with him basically coming into training camp as a rookie 2 weeks in and not giving a shit about what anybody thinks, says, does. I'm going to go out there, do my job, try and win the job. Off we go. If you don't like it.
Do you want to dip the size of your milk for a quarter more?
Want me to punch a size of your face for free?
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for it. I think it's great. I think it's good to come in as a rookie. You really kind of need to kind of set yourself apart from others. He's doing that, I guess. You know, it's kind of almost like having a CJ GJ on offense as opposed to defense. And you want your offensive lineman to be able to, you know, kind of mix it up, push some people around, maybe get some defensive linemen pissed off. And
what about that TikTok video you found? What did he say? Why does he love football so much?
Legally assaulting the person.
Yeah, he gets to legally assault the person off.
Wesley, I think he is assaulting people.
Well, and I'll say also proofs in the pudding of what he's doing. About 2 or 3 days into training camp, so this is super early on, everybody that was at training camp was like, okay, we need to slow down on Trevor Penning. He's a big guy. He's athletic, but he's got a lot to learn. He is not ready to start at left tackle. Like, real quick, everybody was like, okay, everybody pump their brakes. He's going to have to learn in this position. Here we are. Again, y'all said 2 weeks in. A week and a half later, everybody's like, he might take this position from James Hurst. And so it's not just the aggressive attitude. It's the way he's playing. He's improved a lot in 2 weeks. And maybe that's part of it. That's what he needs to get better. And I mean, I'm not mad at it. I agree with you 100%. If we start getting penalties over it, I'm done with it. Like, somebody needs to nip that. We do enough getting penalties without doing anything.
Yeah.
I'm ready for that moniker to be lost from the Saints.
Yeah. So you mentioned CJGJ, and he's been kind of missing a little practice here and there. Contract negotiations. I think someone in our private WhatsApp chat as we were preparing for this show suggested that we just trade him.
No, that was actually on Twitter.
But somebody supported it.
I don't know if that's necessarily at all the way that was exactly.
I think somebody supported the trade.
I said if he is going to hold out and try to hold out for a top of the market nickel cornerback contract, which is $9 to $12 million a year, I do not think we need to do that. I mean, if he likes it here and wants to be here on a contract that makes sense for everybody, I like CJGJ a lot. I think he's a good teammate with all that. If he's going to demand right now, when he's still got a year left on his fourth, he was a fourth rounder. This is a guy that he's done it for a couple of years. Then I would rather trade him, and then we put Roby in that nickel cornerback position this year and develop Taylor for it. We've got a lot of good cornerbacks. Bryce Thompson has played nickel, so has Tyrann Mathieu, so has Marcus May. We got a ton of people that can fill that before we pay that position $10 million.
Not too smart to choose now to.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he is, but the Saints are a team that operates 100% up to the cap pretty much every single year, or $50 million over it, depending on who you listen to, and. What lets us stay relevant and lets us build a good roster is that we draft well and we have guys on rookie contracts for 3, 4, or 5 years. If guys are going to start holding out before the rookie contract is done, that eliminates, I mean, what the Saints are positively doing by drafting guys late in the third, fourth, and fifth and getting these deals. It takes away them being a deal. And so I just think we can't choose one or the other. We can either choose to be up against the cap and draft really good and hold those guys to the rookie deals and sometimes lose them like we did with Hendrickson, or we keep moving them if they're going to act that way and get in more.
So how's it work? So he's under contract. He has to play this year, right?
Yes. He's not going to hold out. He came back to practice. All these guys, they want a deal, especially a guy on a fourth rounder who's making what, $600,000 a year. Of course he's going to want a new deal, but
he's got to keep up with the Joneses.
I'll say for me, I had no problem with CJGJ holding out or holding in or whatever they call it. He's showing up but not practicing. No problem with it until he does it for a few days and then posts on Twitter, headed back to hell. Now, again, I know that Twitter can mean anything, and maybe he's posting some line from some movie that we've never heard of or some artist that he was listening to. Maybe it's hot in New Orleans. Everybody wants to make excuse for him. That was a crappy comment. He deleted it on purpose. He didn't need to make that comment right then, the day before he actually showed back up.
The problem is the comment doesn't even have to mean anything, but people on Twitter are going to make it mean something. So it's going to create all this hoopla. And look, I don't care what players say on Twitter. Michael Thomas has said a bunch of weird shit. I don't care. We're all ready for him.
He didn't play for 2 years.
Well, injury related. I also don't care about the fucking salary. Like, I don't care about the cap because the Saints, Mickey Loomis, he always finds a way to make it work. I want players that help this team win. And if you look at it without him, like our record with him and without him is a big difference. So I want to keep him. Now, granted, you're going to have McCoy's going to come up next year. Sure. Davenport, we're going to have to do something with him. I'm not worried about that right now. Loomis will figure it out. I want the best players on my team, regardless of how many people you draft in, whatever. So I just, I mean, to, to trade a guy like that who is arguably one of the players who is the heart and soul of your defense. Sorry, I just don't want to trade that guy. I don't.
Yeah, I mean, I like him. You know, I like his personality. I think he's probably one of my favorite defensive players that we've ever had. But I also think that you have to do a deal that makes sense. And if he's asking for something that just doesn't make sense, well, then either trade him or let him test the free agent market and see, you know, what he thinks he can get. I mean, if you got young players coming up, you know, that can play the position just as well or possibly better, then you go that route. But, you know, it just has to make sense for them financially and business wise to keep him. You don't want to pay him some kind of crazy number. If they told him
tough shit, you're playing. At what point does he?
He's
going to
play. He's not going
to
hold out
right now. Now he has to. There is no holding out and then negotiating the fines to go away. You have it's 50 or 75,000 a day, something like that.
That he's fined if he doesn't practice.
Right. So far, he's done stuff of, hey, I've got a personal family matter. I'm not going to be here the next couple of days, and they're like, okay, this is excused. But it was excused until I'm guaranteed. Last night, somebody called him and said, you're no longer excused. Tomorrow you're at practice or we're fining you. And then he made his little tweet. Then somebody said, hey, that's stupid. And so he deleted his tweet. And then he showed up this morning and he practiced.
So he has to play now. So $600,000 a year. You're going to play this whole year and you better play good or there won't be a contract next year.
Right. He's going to get a contract. He's put enough on tape. He's going to get a decent contract from somebody.
Okay, but no, if you're the kind of guy who's going to play like shit because you're pouting,
right,
then yeah, they definitely.
I mean, somebody who's playing a last year of their contract usually plays a little bit harder.
They're not going to play like shit. Look, if worst comes to worst, they franchise tag them like they did Marcus Williams for a year. You know, yeah. Like I said, Loomis is going to figure. I am not worried whatsoever. I think he will be a Saint. I think Loomis is going to figure.
I think so too. I don't think they're going to trade him unless it's for Kareem Hunt.
I mean, just the one risk is this type of player who's got the mouth that he does and the antagonistic personality that he does. It's wonderful when it's directed away from the team, but let him be a little unhappy and he could destroy the harmony in the locker room. Yes. By being an ass, by tweeting shit, like going back to hell. But
that's eventually going to hurt him in the long run.
Okay. But I don't want it to hurt us on the field whether it hurts him in the long run.
I mean, okay. Scott, I want to agree with you. And like in my heart, I wish that were true. Some guy that's got charged with or accused of assaulting 23 women just got the largest contract in the history of the NFL. CJGJ can be a dick on Twitter and tell all his teammates to fuck off and float him the bird after every game. He's going to get a good contract next year if he plays well. And so, I mean, I agree. I wish that I could agree. I mean, I do agree with
you. I hear you saying.
The theory of like how I want to teach my kids to play sports, but damn it, that's just not the truth anymore.
At the end of the day, I have to agree with Jason. Like, I just think this is going to be much to do about nothing.
I think so. I think it's going to go away. I think that I honestly see him figuring it out. All I said was, if he says, you're giving me $10 million a year for 3 years, or I don't want to be here. Well, I mean, that makes it a pretty easy conversation for me. That's too much money for that position. We're still not out of cap hell. We've got Jarvis Landry for $3 million a year. Like, there's still a lot coming next year.
That's why a lot of people don't believe he's going to be on the team next year.
And I agree with Jason. Right. Loomis is amazing at this, but he's going to have to stay amazing at this for at least 3 more years. We've already done the contracts. We're going to keep dancing. And
the Saints have been in cap hell for over a decade, and yet here we are still here fielding a top-quality roster. So.
Boom. Yep. Boom.
Jeff, what you should do is put an incredibly awful take on Twitter so that way everybody gets a discussion topic about it.
That's basically what he did.
You should do that.
That's what the guy who started all this did.
All right.
It was the comparison.
What to do about nothing.
Well, on that tweet, it was the comparison that he gave him Junior Gallette vibes. Yeah, I don't get where that comes from at all.
And I'll say where I'm agreeing with some stuff. If
no, on Twitter,
went too far with it.
I thought
the guy who originally tweeted that was his take was not well thought out.
His take with how CJGJ is handling the situation,
right,
gave him Junior Gallette vibes.
No. He's worried that if
he was just saying CJ in general,
okay,
he's gonna go beat somebody with a belt on a beach.
Yeah, I was about to say he probably just bought a big belt.
Okay, whatever. Speaking of much ado about nothing, please tell me that Jameis Winston leaving practice today is much ado about nothing.
Jeff, Jameis Winston leaving practice today is much ado about nothing.
Should we just pass over that? He'll be fine.
I'm gonna. You just told me to tell you that.
Okay.
For now, yeah. For now, yeah. We don't know. We don't know anything about it.
I'll guarantee right now he doesn't mix the next 2 years.
Bold prediction is sure to go wrong.
What about week one?
I think he will be fine. If it was bad, we'd have heard by now.
It just means more playing time for Ian Book Saturday night.
There you go.
Right.
Do you genuinely believe Jameis Winston was going to take a snap on Saturday night?
I think he'd play more in the early games than the later game.
I think that the idea was for him to probably play a little bit over a quarter, get a couple of drives in.
Or a series.
Because they've only got three games. So you kind of need
to at least
get him a little bit of.
Is it three games this year?
Action.
Yeah.
So three games. I'll say it's one of those things. I mean, Nick Underhill already tweeted out that feeling I'm getting from multiple sources is that the Jameis Winston injury isn't anything major, end quote. That, I mean, I guess probably sounds good. I will say that this year, I don't want Jameis to miss games, but if for some reason he has something small that makes him miss a half or a couple of games, I feel really confident with how Andy Dalton's played and looked in the preseason and the skins he's got on the wall. I think he can come in and be a more than serviceable backup. Now, I think his greatest role is being an ear for Jameis while Jameis is playing. But if he has to play a little bit as a backup, I'm not worried about it at all right now.
And some of it, too, is in the past under Peyton. It's been, it's nothing. And then the guy's arm falls off. So, again, we're the Saints fans, we're kind of conditioned literally. To expect
we don't know how to interpret this. It's nothing right now.
It's a new regime.
It could actually be nothing now. And then I'm going to ask you, how do you feel about the new culture of Dennis Allen Saints? Well, I'll tell you what I like better.
Well, the reason I don't think it's so serious either is Dennis Allen said it was an ankle when it was really a foot. Like, if Dennis Allen didn't even know exactly which body part, specifically, it was.
He hasn't mastered the art of misdirection yet.
He just says that he's got a leg.
Right. I saw people.
It's something on his body.
I saw people on Twitter after that Dennis Allen press conference saying that he looked really somber and really down, and it must be bad news. I was like, he just looked and sounded like he does every time I hear him speak.
Maybe it was hot, and he would just come back in hell.
That was hell.
Yeah, it was hot. He was back in hell today.
He had to deal with CJGJ's attitude.
He wanted some ice water.
Complaining about the heat. Now, some good news, though. Michael Thomas returns to practice. He's fully practicing now, yes. Until how many people held their shit in when Adebo knocked him to the ground the other day? And was like, another 2 years. But he got right up and ran back to the huddle, and everything was fine.
He looks like Michael Thomas.
Looks like Time Warp just came back in and is Michael Thomas again.
Yeah, and, you know, he's even speaking to people. He's put his interviews that are going out with him actually doing press interviews, and he never did that before.
I thought it was – I don't know if y'all heard the story, but – Ian Rappaport spent a couple of days at Saints camp over the weekend, and he was actually like talking to a couple of the media people and having a conversation while watching it. And he watched the play and he goes, "Dang, who was that?" And they go, "That was Michael Thomas." He's like, "He looks like that right now." You could tell he showed up just, you know, thinking, "Oh, Michael Thomas probably isn't even practicing." And Ian Rappaport immediately went on TV and said, "Let me tell you
something. Absolutely nothing about what's going on in New Orleans."
Well, he immediately went on TV and said, "I watched Michael Thomas today. It doesn't matter what Jameis Winston's doing. If Michael Thomas looks like this, the Saints are a playoff team. Y'all better watch out for him." Like, he just off of watching a couple of routes was like, y'all better watch out.
I did see some of his comments where, yeah, he pretty much, and he also talked about the fact that Sean Payton's not there anymore. And he mentioned that, like, there's a different vibe, a different something going on over there, and the rest of the league better be put on notice about it, because he was talking about the intensity and I think about the pinning fights and the defensive attitude. Like, this team is freaking hungry, and this team has a chip on their shoulder. And for Ian Rapp, right, I didn't see the Michael Thomas comment, but I did see the comment on the team in general, and him saying like, after being there and seeing it in person, this is a playoff team. So
it's pretty cool. You're mentioning the Adebo part. It's pretty cool that, I mean, Adebo's been doing this against a bunch of people. And I mean, Michael Thomas is looking good, and he's gotten some on Adebo. Adebo's gotten some pass breakups with Michael Thomas there. Adebo's playing football. And I mean, we keep talking about it, but pretty much every day he's the MVP of camp. I mean, almost every day. And again, when it's a couple days in or this and it's one-on-ones, like, oh, maybe it's now getting to where it's constant and one-on-ones and 7-on-7s and 11-on-11s. Like he's making plays all the time. It's, I mean, it's pretty cool to see if he's going to make that second year jump. It's incredible. We did have Lattimore and Taysom Hill back practicing today as well, too.
Yep. So everybody's there now. I mean, only a couple guys.
Except for Davenport.
Yeah.
But he's classic Davenport.
Classic Davenport.
Jason, is Davenport going to play this year?
I believe so. Yes. Correct.
Give us an over-run. Give us an over-under on games.
And sacks.
I'm going to go over-under on games. I'm actually going to go 12.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Because it's a contract year. There's a little more motivation there.
Okay. I would have gone about 10 and a half, really, but okay.
So, I mean, 12 games, you got to predict. I mean, he's going to get 14 and a half sacks, right?
Right.
I mean,
right.
He's going to average over a sack a game.
He will definitely get double-digit sacks this season.
Well, I'm telling you, he does something like that with what Peyton Turner's looking like. Again, Peyton Turner's got to stay healthy too, dang it. But Peyton Turner and Jordan and then putting in some Passignon and Granderson and all, like, if a couple of those guys getting double-digit sacks – I mean, that's some serious production that could be coming, especially we're talking about those defensive backs. If our defensive line's getting to the quarterback and making them get rid of the ball early, there's going to be some turnovers this year, which I think has been the problem the last few years. Even when our defense has been good, we're not getting the ball and we're not getting turnovers. We get a little bit of change there, and so it can be huge.
You might be looking at a number one fantasy defense with sacks and turnovers, hopefully.
Now we know who Jason's taking.
Yeah, just don't care about yards. Yards is the most stupid stat ever for a defense. I mean, doesn't matter at all. We need points and turnovers and sacks.
Yep. All right. Jarvis Landry was recently on a press conference, and didn't he say something about this is the toughest playbook he's ever had to learn?
Yeah.
And
yeah. I mean, he didn't just mean NFL, 16 years of 16 playing years. Football.
And,
well, I mean, I hope it's tougher than his high school and college playbooks.
Yeah. But. And, you know, it's how many teams has he been with?
Three in the NFL.
Three
Miami, NFL. Cleveland, and us. Here.
Well, you know, Miami and Cleveland, I can't imagine have that complicated of offensive. But, you know, every time you go to a different team, and he even kind of said in the press conference, it's like we rewiring your brain, because certain terms with certain teams mean one thing, and then you go to a different team and they mean something else. So it's, you know, I think it's a combination of our offense being complex, but I also think it's, you know, he's a little older, and as all of us, at least us guys, know on the podcast, as you get older, it's harder to learn things, you know.
It's harder to remember things.
Yes, it's harder to remember things and to learn things. So, you know, I think it could be a combination of the two, just kind of rewiring your brain. I
mean, he's not that much older.
Wait, what were we talking
about? There you go. You know, but just rewiring and learning different terminology and stuff, you know, of different teams.
Yeah, or it's the most complicated offense that he's ever played
in. I think it's a combination of the two.
Which kind of my thing, that's, listen, I love that we have a complicated offense that's gotten lots of yards in certain seasons in the past. We have also seen the Saints have tons of problems getting production from 1, 2, and 3 year players that are tight ends, running backs, and wide receivers. I mean, so there has to be like a happy medium in there, like where it's complicated enough to where the defense doesn't know what you're doing, but also that, like, you've got to be able to develop some rookies. And even, I mean, possibly that's some problems with Cesar Ruiz and him figuring out the calls and what's going on the offensive line. It's the entire offense, not just the receivers. And so, I mean, that was my question. I mean, I guess, you know, if we turn around and Jameis throws for 6,000 yards this year, okay, cool. Have the most complicated offense ever. I don't care. But if we're going to keep struggling, and then, I mean, can we, Olave, obviously Michael Thomas is special, and he came in and we knew that he was really football smart. We knew Alvin Kamara was super football smart. We know Chris Olave, super football smart. But what about these, you know, fifth and sixth round draft picks and, you know, undrafted free agents that just come in and do nothing, look super athletic, catch all the balls, but can't do anything in a game?
Yeah, and you do wonder why that. I mean, look, we had Drew Brees for years, but we haven't really looked at a top tier quarterback in the draft, have we? Is it the fact that taking a young QB just wouldn't work with that offense, and we'd have to change the offense to you'd have to dumb it down a little bit?
I don't think you should have to dumb anything down. I don't think like, what if he's not saying it as if like this is a tough playbook and it's too tough, period? What if it's just a compliment on how amazing Pete Carmichael is as an offensive coordinator, and that the Saints just have a really good offense?
And yeah, Jason, what if that's what he's saying?
And he's putting
Jason,
this is Carmichael's response to us thinking he's just a retread. He's tweaking the offense to make it even more tricked out.
No, he didn't do any changes. He just told Jarvis to say it in the press conference.
I'll guarantee you X amount of targets in the year if you say this about my offense.
Right. I mean, not even so much as like just the compliment thing. I could see like it probably is a hard one. And I think there's probably something to the argument that, well, maybe this is why some guys, certain guys have had trouble. Like, you know.
I mean, it's not a new thing that the Saints offense is complicated, though, is it? You know, even Drew Brees said himself, and you listen to some of the play calls that, you know, when they're mic'd up, and I know what some of it means, but on three, clap. I know what that bit means.
I mean, the plays can't be that different than anywhere else. It's just the language, right?
Well, it's not just the language. They have so many, I think, packages that they use where they have different formations and stuff trying to trick the defense that, and I think I've talked about that in the past, that there's just so many different formations and even intricacies in those formations, right? Uh-huh. So it could be hard to learn.
Well, and it's a major variance. And even if you have the same package of players on the field, each receiver plays all three positions. Each tight end lines up, you know, against the line and lines out wide, and each running back also lines out completely wide or in the slot. So, I mean, every player really has to learn every single position, not just theirs. I mean, that's one of the things that made Michael Thomas great is, I mean, he played all three positions on the as a wide receiver.
Yep. But all he had to do was run slants though.
Yeah.
And we've got three wide receivers that can play in all three positions again now.
Yeah, well, you build your team to suit your playbook and your strategy, and that's what they've done. Yeah. Imagine that their success is based on a smart offense and then putting the players in position who can execute that offense. And defense, I guess, for that matter. Anyway, all right.
You might almost say this is a way to win football games, Jeff.
So, last piece about training camp is, are there any names that you've heard that we haven't talked about that deserve to be talked about, or any names that you have not heard and that you're happy that you have not heard, or maybe you're upset that you haven't heard?
I think there's two glaring names that we haven't heard very much of that is probably a really good thing that we haven't heard either of their names often. It's Ruiz and Pete. I mean, we've seen both of them get steamrolled and get your quarterback.
Well, I thought killed. They were holding out. They're there.
Yeah, they're actually playing. I mean, and they're going against what we've already heard about as being a very talented defensive line that are huge, strong, fast guys. And again, yes, they've been. Ruiz had like he gave up a sack the other day, but I mean, it hasn't been what it was. And he's actually didn't somebody complimented him saying he was the MVP of camp or something like that, or most improved player or something like that. Not hearing the two of their names is a really good thing, because what we heard the last 2 years was a whole bunch of Ruiz and one-on-ones got dominated and lost 3 of 5 or 3 of 4, all three. And so just not hearing his name at all is pretty awesome. It's also pretty cool that we've heard about every cornerback, and just so everybody knows, Lattimore has been practicing, and nobody's doing shit on him. Not Michael Thomas, not Jarvis Landry, not Olave. We haven't heard Lattimore's name at all. And it's just because nobody's catching the ball when he's around them. It's pretty spectacular.
Well, I mean, he did. Yeah. When he was practicing, he did tweak a hamstring. So he's been kind of working off like the Saturday, side. Right. The last couple of days. So they said it's nothing serious. But yeah, I mean, look, this, like we talked about, the secondary is freaking loaded. Secondary is loaded. Loaded.
Yeah.
It's man. I'm ready. Like I'm all right. I'm going with training camp now. Like let's go a month. I mean, we're still over a month away from the first game.
We got one Saturday.
Do we need to worry that we're not hearing the name of, well, first of all, we're not hearing the name of any tight end besides Troutman. Like Kroll disappeared and hasn't even existed. And then Marcus Callaway completely went away.
I mean, Kirk
Merritt and Kevin White are outplaying him, and Kevin White drops a ball every day, but he's still outplaying Marcus Callaway because at least he's catching some.
I mean, I saw that article Nick put out about the targets and the catches, and Callaway's just, for whatever reason, isn't even getting a lot of targets at this point.
One of two?
Which is weird because he has the most time on the field with Jameis of anybody and should have the connection. Instead, you can tell Jameis loves Olave and loves Landry. He is target. I mean, obviously Michael Thomas just started practicing the other day, but
I mean, unless it's a situation of because he's already got the practice with Callaway and he doesn't with the other guys, he's trying to get it more with them now because he knows what he has in Callaway. Maybe.
I mean, we all assumed that Callaway was going to be wide receiver 4, right?
Yeah,
I'm not sure. Might not make the team.
I'm not sure that's a guarantee.
No,
I think Traquan's looking at wide receiver 4 at this point. Or Hardy.
We keep hearing Kirk Merritt's name, and that's a mighty athletic guy that can catch the ball. And his name pops up just about every day of doing something and making spectacular catches and really fighting for the ball. So, I mean, he's going to have to do it in the preseason games with somebody trying to cover him for real on the other team. For it to even get some more hype. But Kirk Merritt's name's been out there a whole lot.
We always seem to keep a wide receiver that can block well. I wonder if Callaway
Traquan has played well enough this year. Like, I mean, he's made some good plays. I think he's going to stick around.
Well, I guess now I've got something to really look forward to in the preseason game. See what receivers are out.
Yeah.
There you go. See?
See who has the best connection with Ian Book.
Oh, yeah.
Right, because that's gonna matter. All right,
week 15, you never know.
So, let's move into another segment called Game Preview. Speaking of Saturday night. Not much to preview. This one is, but the Saints Texans. What time's the game? Seven.
Seven
Central.
No, I won't.
All joking aside, right? All joking aside, what are you looking for in this game? Like, what do you hope to see?
Hope to see no one get carted off the field.
Well, sure.
That's all I care about. Like, honestly, I just don't want anyone get hurt.
I mean, in addition to some of the other receivers, I'd like to see a little Abram Smith.
Okay.
Yep.
What he looks like.
Yep. I want to see no fumbles. I mean, if somebody throws an interception and they're screwing around, I'm fine with that. I do not want to see fumbles, and we need one of these running backs to separate themselves. We've been hearing good things that all the running backs have broken plays almost every day. So we need somebody to separate themselves, but I don't want them to separate themselves by fumbling the ball and separating themselves down. I agree. Abram Smith, I want to see, what does Malcolm Brown have? Like, and Ozigbo, somebody who had some talents, and I want to see those guys like excelling and looking good. I'd really like to see Zach Bond do something. Apparently he's had a couple of good practices.
Preseason legend.
We haven't seen DeMarco Jackson in a few days. Don't know if he's hurt, but the Saints brought in Kiko Alonso, Saints legend, who retired after one practice. So obviously they think that we have some linebacker concerns or needs, so at least somebody to bring in. Be nice to see Zach Bond pay off, who we almost drafted in the first round.
Jeff, do you want to see Penning throw a helmet?
That's all against the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of Penning, you know, seeing him get some reps in a live game is going to be an interesting thing.
Also, we're going to see a match here between Olave and Stingley. Will that come up in this game?
That could be fun for a series or two.
Because people have been saying good things about him from the Texans as well.
They said he's looked great. And then the safety from Baylor, Petrie's been playing really good over there. They think that they're building a little something on the back end of the defense.
I'm looking forward to seeing Lovie Smith's beard. So,
right.
He's got a Santa beard ready to go.
I'm assuming Will Lutz will be kicking in the game. We don't have another kicker on the roster, do we? So seeing Will Lutz back will be nice.
I'd be fine with this whole preseason if we just get the ball as close as we want and then just, even if it's second kick down, field goals. Kick field goals. Yeah. Like, I just don't even care.
You'll be
just
fine with that? Let me ask you that 3 weeks into the season.
No, not in the season. For preseason.
Just in preseason.
Preseason. I want to see Will Lutz kick 74 field goals.
I want to see the Carl Smith offense for the preseason.
run.
I guess we'll and something else too. Maybe some of the tight ends see what they show. Like I said, we haven't heard from Kroll in a few days, so just kind of see who, if anybody, can step up there and make some plays.
Okay.
And really, the good thing with these defensive backs, we've got these great defensive backs that are doing good in one-on-ones and all. There's a lot of communication that goes on, and we have a ton of new people. So I'd really just like to see good communication and no busted plays. Even if somebody makes a contested ball or something like that, that's fine if they're catching that. Just somebody running down the field by themselves because our defense doesn't know how to talk to each other, don't want to see that. So we just need communication work by our defensive backs.
Communication. Got it. All right. One more topic to cover. I did kind of joke about Sam Mills earlier, but he was actually inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame last week during the Hall of Fame game. His wife gave his speech, and the family chose Jim Mora to be his Hall of Fame presenter. And what I liked about that was, obviously, it was Mora who gave him his chance after playing in the USFL with him. And I think one of the comments they made, I guess his wife said, was like, when he first got in the defensive huddle with the Saints, or Jim Mora said, when he first got in the defensive huddle with the Saints, I had to admit, he looked short. As we got going, he never looked short to me again. And that is your Sam Mills moment. Anybody got any toast? Anything you want to say about Sam Mills?
It's great to see him finally get his due. Yeah. Great to see it.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, and they put his jacket from that Dome Patrol poster in the Hall of Fame, which I think is really cool.
You are correct.
And me being a little short fella, he was always one of my favorite players to see him out there. The field mouse.
Do we need to get some Dome Patrol outfits like that for the London party?
Nah.
Feel free.
I
mean, his route to the NFL is real interesting. If you ever go look at it he's told he had no shot in going to the USFL and being the best player ever in the USFL up to that time and basically forcing his way into the leagues. Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Is he the best member of the Dome Patrol?
No, Ricky. Jackson.
It's still Ricky
Jackson.
Okay, just making
he's
sure.
He's probably third.
I'd put him at, Pat Swilling? Pat Swilling just
Pat
did
Swilling
Pat,
second.
Pat Swilling second.
Yeah.
I think I'd put Mills above just because Swilling didn't have the longevity that Mills had.
Well, I'm talking as a Dome Patrol member.
So you're saying
like
that when
Carolina.
Pat Swilling slowed down, Sam Mills kept pounding?
All the way to the Pro Bowl at age 37.
There you go.
I was about to make the Panthers comment myself. So, yeah, I'd say he was third.
Were you just mad at Pat Swilling because he went to the Lions? He went to a Pro Bowl with the Lions, I think, too, didn't he?
I mean, I'm not mad that anybody goes to the Lions.
Did he ever actually play for the Lions?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he went to the Pro Bowl his first or second year there.
Anyway.
So speaking of the Hall of Fame, actually, we have another bona fide Saints legend who is eligible for the 2023 Hall of Fame, and I would like to think he's probably going to get in. Jari Evans. I think he's probably going to get in.
We don't have to worry about him going in with another team's jersey or helmet either.
No, we don't.
Well, technically, you don't go in under a team.
Well.
I get what you're saying.
So yeah, Jari Evans is eligible for the first time 2023, and I like to think that he gets in first time.
If he gets in, would he be Ring of Honor material?
Absolutely. Yeah. If you're NFL Hall of Fame, you're Ring of Honor material.
Right.
I mean, that's now, like I don't think Jari will get in on his first try, but I do think he should make it eventually. Although, man, it's crazy. Like, looking at this year's class, I'm like, nobody really jumped out as like, well, that guy's definitely a Hall of Famer.
Yeah,
like,
it was kind of these
guys,
class.
All these guys were good. All these guys played for a long time, and I think that's probably some of it. But there wasn't one guy that was like, yep, first ballot, no, instant.
From the players, no. I mean, Dick Vermeil probably deserved his jacket this year, didn't he? As coach, but
all right.
So yeah, so I think I saw Darrell Revis was also up for
eligibility. Surefire. Yeah, he's surefire. Yeah.
Next year.
So maybe Jari can make it in.
I think he will. Anyway, sorry.
All right. Well, final thoughts. Who's got one?
I'll go first, I guess. LSU got a huge recruit this past week, Sheldon Sampson, 5-star wide receiver. He's the highest ranked player that Brian Kelly has gotten so far. He's looks pretty good. Only 27 days till LSU kicks off against Florida State.
He's number 2 in the state of Louisiana behind Arch Manning.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I got my little season ticket holder package in the mail at the end of last week, and this year you get your little sticker, season ticket holder, you get a magnet with the schedule, but then this year they gave us a flag, a Saints flag.
A Union Jack?
that flag needs to come to London to be shown and hung in our meetup.
Okay. Done.
So it's in the suitcase.
It's
maybe if you get some former players there, you get some autographs.
You know, I mean, it's not the it's not like the strongest material for a flag, but hey, it's a flag. It's something
it's a
they haven't done
pretty
before.
Big flag, it's though. Right? Flag.
No, it is. Yeah. I mean, I was gonna hang it from my balcony.
Yeah, like 70,000 of them, right?
However many we got, 50,000, probably closer to 49,000, 50,000. People with multiple tickets, so shit, probably less than that. But anyway, I thought it was a nice little gesture. So.
Very cool.
I'm really glad that the ridiculous Tyrann Mathieu drama blew over. And it sucks. I mean, it is what it is, but it sucks that a dude can't have like what is probably going to come out. And someday we'll find out a actually pretty personal problem that he didn't want to be dealing with, that everybody had to also throw in that he was hated the team and was leaving the team and hated New Orleans and wanted to move out of New Orleans. And I mean, and it's just crazy that had to go that route. I think he handled it amazingly, kind of coming up and just the way he flat out just said, like, we'll talk about it someday, but I mean, this is what I needed to do, and I'm 100% bought in here. And he's been on LSU's campus and the Saints campus each of the last couple of days, ingraining himself, as he always has, into the state of Louisiana and wanting football to be great here. But also, him being back, it's a damn good free agent signing. I'm so excited to see him back there. He's locked in on number 32, so... Fanatics, if you're listening, you can start making my damn jersey that I bought back in June. They're not listening. But really, really glad that he's here. I think he's going to make some amazing plays this year. And honestly, I think he's going to make some amazing plays. And he's probably going to have some pretty fun celebrations with the crowd, with some home crowd and having the fans in New Orleans cheering for him. I can't wait to kind of see his reaction to some of the really loud crowd moments.
Oh, yeah. Because he's not used to that in Kansas City.
Not with a roof on the stadium.
I thought Kansas City was the loudest stadium in the league.
That's why it was funny.
Yeah, I know.
All right. That's everybody?
Yep.
All right. That's all that's we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week, telling all of your friends to listen to the Dome Patrol podcast. Follow us on Facebook at Dome Patrol Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast and at Dome Patrol UK. Follow us on TikTok at Dome Patrol Prods with a Z. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, go to Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, weekends without football, donkeys.
Good night, Houdat Nation.